On today's episode, I talk about what I would do if I were to go back in time and start from scratch. I hope you enjoy it. Today, I thought I would get on here and do something a little bit different. I have been mostly talking about strategies that I think don't always apply until you get to a certain place in your business. So I thought today I would do something different and talk about starting from the very beginning, assuming you are currently employed right now. Or maybe you're not, and you're wanting to go out and start a wildlife control business. So I think if you think you're ready to go out and start a wildlife control business, I think the first thing that will be really helpful is to make a decision of what you really want and realize that what you think you want might change as you accomplish that thing. That's at least what I've learned. You know, when I first started out in running my own business, I had worked for a small startup for 2 years, and I was their only employee, and it was me, the owner. The owner had a silent partner. I do not know why he had a silent partner, but he did. And we had a part-time customer service representative. That was it. I was the only guy in the field. I was the only guy out in the field doing sales. I was the only guy out in the field doing service. Occasionally, the owner would step in and help out. I never asked him for help. That's just the kind of person I am. I'm very independent. But that company went under, and I ended up starting my own business. And so my thought process when I started my company was, this is a small business, and this can't be a big business. So I'm just going to have a goal of having 2 full-time technicians, and I'll be doing really well. And of course, you get there faster than what you think, and you realize there's a lot more to this, and there's a lot more opportunity as you start learning more. So I think the first thing is, when you start your business, is first realize you can have a wildlife removal business that's doing $100 million a year in revenue. You could probably have a wildlife removal business that's doing $200 million a year in revenue. That's top line sales. You can make millions of dollars a year owning a wildlife removal business. And there's a very big difference between running a business and owning a business. Just because you own your business, it doesn't mean you hold a position in your business. Of course, it all depends on what your goals and intentions are. So when you start that company, having an idea of what your goal is, I think, is a good place to start. Because if you don't really know what you're trying to accomplish, it's hard to, you know, do the right things along the way to create that goal. So, or achieve that goal rather. So I think that's important. You can have a really giant company, and you can grow fast too. You can get the right people. You can bring in partners, and you can grow really, really fast. If you don't have any business experience, I highly recommend getting out there, networking, finding people who could potentially either be a soundboard for you, that, you know, a mentor for you. And you don't ask them, hey, do you want to be my mentor? But it's just finding people that you can be friendly with and get information from. And not to throw shade at any groups in our industry, there's some great information on Facebook. There's several groups on there where you can get a lot of information. Be careful where you get your information, though. You know, if your goal is to have a company that's doing $10 million a year in revenue, you probably shouldn't take advice from somebody who doesn't have a business that's doing $10 million a year in revenue. Pretty simple, right? So be careful where you get your advice from. So I think start with the end in mind, understanding what that goal is, having an idea of where you can get the information to hit your goals. I do not have a $10 million a year revenue business, for the record. So I'm not the right person to ask those questions to. But the other thing is, if you're not really good at business, you don't have any experience running businesses, understanding all the things involved in running a business, and you don't know anybody, I would get in the habit of looking for people. And they don't have to be in our industry, but just somebody who has experience running businesses. You really want to find a group of people, and there are things that you can do to get involved with other industries and people who can be helpful to you. There's a thing called, I might be screwing this up, I think it's called SCORE, and it's free mentorship. And it's, I think they're, it's a nonprofit. I think they're all over the country. And I actually recently reached out to our SCORE here down here in Southwest Florida and got on a call with two guys who are entrepreneurs who were very successful and had built businesses and sold them to private equity firms. And they had a lot of great things to say, and it was completely free. So there's opportunities out there. I think if you haven't gone out and started your business yet and you have some income coming in, hold on to that income until you know that you can replace that income, unless you're okay with taking risk. Because there is risk here. Whenever you decide to invest into a startup, which is essentially what you're doing, you're investing in yourself, there's going to be risk, and you don't really know what's going to happen. So if I'm currently employed right now and I'm thinking, man, I really want to go out and start a wildlife removal business. Maybe I am working at a pest control business. Maybe, you know, I'm doing some trapping on the side. I'm working my construction job during the day, whatever it is. Before you take that leap and go all in, I would really focus on driving in leads before I leave my current position. So once I know the leads are coming in, which is new business, new customers calling daily, weekly, monthly, and I have enough opportunities to be able to replace my current income. So I'd focus on that. And there's a lot of ways that you can do that and do it free. And there's certain things that you probably don't want to do until you're able to fully commit, especially if you're working full time, because you'll burn bridges. So I would really focus on the internet. So a Google Maps, also known as a Google My Business profile, that is free. I would set one of those up. There are a lot of companies out there. Not trying to throw shade on them. We don't use any, but there are companies that will take advantage of you. So I would just recommend doing your own research and learning how to do this stuff on your own. And I understand if you do not have the skill set yet, guess what? You can learn anything you want to learn. So I think being a business owner, you don't need to know everything, but the more that you know, the more money you will save. The less money you will spend, and the reality is you're going into business, I'm assuming, because you don't have a giant trust fund. You're going into business because you want to have more freedom and you want to create more income or just go down a different path. So you're going to do things as a business owner that are extremely uncomfortable, and there's nothing wrong with that. And it's going to be common. You're going to commonly have to deal with uncomfortable situations, upset customers, upset vendors, products not working like you expect, jobs not going like you expect. If you hire employees, they're not doing what you want them to do, etc. There's always going to be issues with running a business. It's not perfect ever. Even the largest companies in the world, they're going to have problems. The good thing is, if your company is profitable at the end of the day, that's really what's important, because that's putting food on the table. So I would really focus on the internet marketing side before I go all in. So those leads are coming in. Maybe I can't answer them all day because I'm at my job, but at least the phone is ringing and I can now start counting the opportunities. And this is just easy math. So I would start, even if you are doing this part-time right now and are dabbling, I would start getting in the habit of tracking your data. If you start tracking your data from the beginning, it is a game changer, because you can lean on that. And what I mean by that is you can look back at your data and use it as a way to grow. So I don't want to get into that too much this morning, but track your data. So what do I mean by that? A customer calls in and they have a squirrel in their attic. Just keep a piece of notebook paper and just put a tally down. Write the date, and you had two people call in with squirrels in their attic today. Doesn't matter whether you sold them or not. Just write the number two down. You had two leads for the day. That's two. And count those leads every single day. And then the other thing is, and I have another episode on pricing, so you can listen to that. But once you figure out your pricing, which should basically be what you need to make in an hour, I'm not telling you to charge hourly. I'm telling you to do the math and figure out how long each job is going to take, how much time you're going to spend at a customer's house, charge flat fees, and determine what you need to make for your time, not for success, because success is unpredictable. It might take you longer than a week to catch an animal or whatever it might be that you're going after. So you want to be careful on per animal stuff, especially as you scale and hire people. But once you figure out your prices, you can then start looking at some more data. So if you're getting a certain number of leads a day, you're able to track that, how many leads you got in a month. You can identify that your call volume is increasing if you're doing things to generate more business. There are a lot of free ways to generate business online. So I mentioned Google My Business. Every internet search engine has a place where you can list your business for free. I'm not saying that these things are going to make your phone ring incredibly, but there's easy things that you can do. You can create a page with Yelp. You can create a page with Bing, which is Microsoft. I think you can create a page with DuckDuckGo. There's a lot of different things that you can do. So go on to all these things, these free, just Google free search, or just Google search engines. And obviously Google is the king of all search engines. You can create a free listing, I think, on YP.com. Not that anybody goes there, but create as many as you can. List your business with your local state. Sometimes you can list your business with your county. I would not try to focus on referrals just yet, because you're not full-time yet and you might not be able to run those leads. So the whole idea is to play it safe, right? And make sure you have income. Now, if you do have some money to spend and you have the ability to, you know, work for a month or two without, you know, having to worry about new income coming in, I would go out and introduce myself to all the local pest control companies. You can call them first. You can go there in person. And money talks. For some of these companies, they would love a referral fee from a local small company. Others, they're not worried about that. They just want a reputable business that they can refer their wildlife work to. I'm seeing now most pest control companies do wildlife removal. However, they don't do all wildlife removal. So they might do exclusion work, but they're not going to go trap beavers in a creek. They're not going to go trap coyotes on the golf course, etc. So inform them of all the services that you do, and they'll probably give you leads for those things that they don't do. So I think that's certainly an opportunity. Your local animal control, your local sheriff's office, police station, let them know that you do wildlife removal and would love some referrals. Again, I would go there in person. I think you're going to accomplish a lot more in person than you are over the phone. It's more time consuming, but you know, it's old school, and you're putting yourself out there, right? If you're showing up, you're dressing professional, you have a nice business card that you can get on Vistaprint for little to nothing. I think it's like, I don't know how much it is, 30, 40, 50 bucks or something for business cards. Get you some business cards and just leave a trail everywhere you go. You can go hang out at the hardware stores where they sell raccoon traps. And if you see anybody over there, you know, introduce yourself. If they're unsuccessful, maybe they'll hire you. Maybe not the best use of your time, but if you're bored, that's something that you could do. I would also call all of your competitors and introduce yourself. You're going to get a lot of people that aren't going to like it, but it's more so look, I wouldn't tell them that you're starting a business. I would tell them that you have a business and you wanted to know if there's any wildlife services that they do not do. And a lot of them don't. I mean, I know a lot of operators that don't handle every species. So if you're just starting out and you're willing to handle every species, you know, legal species, then there's an opportunity there because they're probably going to get calls for things that they don't handle. And you can tell them, look, you can sub me out. You can refer me. I'll give you, you know, a referral fee. You need to figure out what that is and make sure you're actually paying them the referral fee. And, you know, if you do that, you're going to be able to get some business coming in. You know, you might get one pest control company that is a game changer. We've been working with some of the same pest control companies for over 10 years now. And it can be a real game changer. They can give you six figures a year in revenue. So those are the things that I would do to get the phone ringing while currently employed at my job. And then I get the phone ringing. I can now track that data and compare. I can see that, hey, I'm getting twice the number of leads that I was before. And let's say your average sale is $1,000, which it should be at least $1,000 in my opinion. I think it should probably be closer to $2,000, but let's just say $1,000 because maybe you're selling a lot of trapping, a lot of small one-time work. And you can then identify, you know, how many calls it takes you to make a sale. So one out of four calls, it's a 25% closing rate. Your closing rate's probably going to be lower because you're not able to answer the phone quickly because you're employed somewhere. But if you can answer the phone quickly, your closing rate should be much higher. I would say at least 50%. So 50% of the time, you're closing a deal and your average deal is $1,000. You can do the math and figure out, okay, based off of my increase in call volume, I should have more sales. And you can then figure out what, you know, what's enough for you to leave your current position where you're at. And then I think from there, once that stuff really starts flowing, you should get a good bookkeeper, somebody that you know is going to do a good job. I would highly recommend somebody that you know, somebody else that's already using this bookkeeper and they're doing a good job. There are other options out there. You don't want to be in a situation where you're not keeping track of these things. Because if you, even if you just want it to be you and not a giant company and you're not trying to hire anybody, which I think is a horrible idea, but you know, everybody has their own goals. I think that get a good bookkeeper. There's some companies that are working just in our industry. One of them's called Fraxn, Fraxn. Let them know I sent you. Great guys. They handle our stuff. Patrick Baldwin and Seth Garber, I think, own that, and they do a great job. But get yourself a good bookkeeper so you can track your expenses and understand what's going on, understand your margins. And these guys are going to be able to give you some data and help you out and give you an idea of, you know, some things maybe that you should change within your business. The other thing, which we didn't start out this way, but get some software. Get some cheap software that's useful in tracking everything. Customers, revenue, whether jobs are being completed or not, so you don't lose a bunch of traps. So get some software. There's a lot of different options out there that are cheap. We use Gorilla Desk. There's House Call Pro. There's all kinds of stuff. So get some good software so you know what's going on, that you can invoice customers, and make sure it's software that you can sell a subscription. If you cannot sell a subscription, then I would not get the software. And what I mean by subscription is you have a customer that needs exterior rodent control. They need rat trapping ongoing, or they need beaver trapping ongoing. If you don't have a software that can automatically send an invoice every month or automatically charge a credit card every month, then I would not get that software. Very important. And setting up subscriptions is super beneficial for you and your business, because that's one less sale you have to make every month to hit your goal, whatever your monthly revenue goal is. And it makes it a much easier business to run. And I wish I would have known that when I first started my first company. I didn't know what a subscription was. I mean, I knew what a magazine subscription was, but I didn't understand how subscriptions had anything to do with my wildlife business. So recurring revenue just makes it extremely easy for you to run your business. Otherwise, you're chasing a new sale every month. So if you can reduce the number of new sales you're chasing every month, it's an easier business to run. There's a lot of different recurring revenue opportunities, but you know, in the short summary of recurring revenue in our industry is there are situations that are not going to ever be completely eliminated on a person's property. There are nuisance wildlife that will never be fully eliminated. So it makes sense to offer a service where you're servicing that customer on a weekly or bi-weekly or monthly or maybe even a quarterly basis. And that allows you to continue to build that customer. I think the other thing to think about when you're starting your business is to remember it's not our job to make decisions for our customers in regards to what they do with their money. And what I mean by that is, you know, when I started, I didn't have any money. I was couch surfing my first year in business, did not have a real place to call home. And I was afraid to charge people too much. I was afraid to charge what the national companies were charging and the larger companies in my area, because I thought, well, I'm just this little skinny kid. Why would anybody pay me $2,000 to get squirrels out of their attic? And the reality is they would be happy to if you did a good job, and I did a great job. So why wouldn't they pay me that? So I left a lot of money on the table my first year. I probably could have quadrupled my revenue and my income had I just been a little bit more confident. So if you're starting a business, I'm assuming you know what you're doing. If you don't know what you're doing, I don't think that you should start a business. If you don't know how, if you don't have any knowledge about wildlife, I don't think that you should start a wildlife removal business, because you are going to have so many learning lessons dealing with different species. If you don't know how to trap all the different species, I really think that you should understand that stuff. Maybe there's a way for you to still make it happen. But, you know, when I started my company, I had read numerous books on wildlife biology, wildlife management, wildlife conservation. I was certified in wildlife conservation. I'd been a park ranger for 2 years. I worked for a forestry company for a year, and I worked for another wildlife company for 2 years. So I had a decent amount of experience and had taken courses as well, and a lot of field experience trapping animals most of my life. So if you don't have a lot of wildlife experience, just like a business mentor, I would make sure you have your wildlife mentor, somebody you know that has a ton of experience trapping any and all species, somebody that understands all the different wild animals. You do not want to have a business and not know how to do the simplest services. It's going to be very expensive, because you're going to not know what you're doing, and you might waste customers' time and have to refund them, and it's just a whole mess. So I would make sure you know how to do all that stuff too. Otherwise, I don't really understand why you want to get into the industry. But yeah, those are the things that I would do. And I think that the biggest thing for me, and maybe it's not just for me, I think it's for a lot of people, but you know, I never thought that I would have a business I never thought I had a business that would have more than two people working for me, and let alone a business that was in four states, which is what we are now. And I never thought that I would build multiple companies and sell multiple companies, which is what I've already done. So, you know, I think we're all more capable. We're capable of doing more than what we realize. So, the guys that are running the largest companies in our industry, these are smart people, but they started just like us. They started one day at a time. They started with a couple of phone calls a day. And now, you know, they get hundreds of phone calls a day. So you can build a great lifestyle with these companies. It doesn't mean it's going to be easy, though. It's going to be hard, and you're going to have situations that are not so fun. But over time, you'll get tougher, and you'll figure it out if you don't give up. So I hope you enjoyed it. If you did, please go on to Apple Podcast or Spotify. Leave us a 5-star review. I think you can do reviews on Spotify. I know you definitely can for Apple Podcast. Really appreciate everybody that listens every week, and hope your spring is going well. Thank you. Thank you for listening to today's episode. It was brought to you by Conserve. Do you run a wildlife removal business and feel like you have no freedom? You're taking the phone calls, you're doing the services, and you just don't have enough free time for yourself. Are you ready to double or triple the size of your company and build a business that can run and grow without you while steadily increasing your profits? Well, Conserve partners with businesses just like yours all over the country, and together we are building a fast-growing business around your goals and lifestyle. We can reduce your operating cost, we can increase your sales, and give you, the owner, more freedom and help you build a business that runs and grows without you. to set up an initial consultation, email us at growth@conservemail.com. That's growth@conservemail.com.